to see this thing happening in this place?
Yes.
Yes.
In this country, particularly in Vietnam, and also in all the Western countries. No, I'm dreaming for every country. I pray for every nation. Every Saturday, I spend almost 6 hours praying for every nation, particularly America. But there, this is where I studied. I love that country. I like it very much. And I have received the calling to go back to India. I would have been in America. Not even coming to this place. But I thank God that calling was so strong. And I was not a believer at that time when I received the call. Just like in Isaiah 45, says, you did not know me, but still I have appointed you, anointed you, and fixed you to go and preach my word. And I did not know at all, why am I going back to India? That time, one of my Catholic friends, I used to go with him, particularly the lunch hours. He used to have a lunch Bible study. So he would invite me in his office, with American friend, Catholic. Sometimes I used to go to his church also for parties, good free parties, beer parties, drinkings, everything in the Catholic church. So we used to enjoy all that. But at the same time, he would invite me and a few other American friends to just sit down for the lunch hour and study Bible and pray. This was a routine, almost every day, 5 days a week. And one day, I asked him, friend, I want to decide now if I have to stay in America forever or go back to India. This is the time that I have to take a decision. He says, don't take any decision with your mind. Let us go and pray. So he took me in his car and instantly we went to a Manhattan Hill. In Manhattan, Kansas State, Manhattan, there's a hill. We call it Manhattan Hill. So many people go for the for parking and sightseeing. So very beautiful hill. So we also went to that hill. And he said, we will pray there. So he was sitting beside me, he was praying, and I holding his hand. He said, you will hear the voice, but not me. And after praying a few minutes, I heard a clear voice, like St. Paul in Damascus Road. Turn back from persecuting the church. I heard the same words. India needs you more than America. Go back. Three times. Nobody was around me. No human being was around me. It was not pre-planned. It was clear voice of God. But at the same, then I told him, I'm hearing such a voice. He said, okay, I'm not speaking. It is God speaking to you. But I want you to stay back in India as a scientist. I will definitely recommend you to stay back because we need good scientists. But it is up to you to decide. I will not tell you anything on this. I came back to my office and I told my wife that I want to go back. She was very upset. I told my son, he was more upset. He had many friends, he was 9 years old. So he never wanted to go back. My also wife was not willing to go back. It was good life. Who would like to go back in a non-air conditioning situation? You love to stay. See, the whole church is held in the heat of temperature. What temperature do you know in the summer? 45 to 47 degrees centigrade. I stand there. For 3,000
people.
Now, and otherwise, in American churches, all air conditioning. And Netherlands, you don't need air conditioning. Such a you can have even outside whole big church. I told my professor, my department head. He said, "What happened?" I told him the story. I heard this kind of voice. He said, "There is something wrong in your mind." So today, exactly what he suggested me to go and check up with the psychologist, some counselors, because there is something going on in your mind, because you have been studying too much. You are too much studious. You are working very hard. Perhaps you are hearing voices like this. I said, I have never heard before, but why at that prayer time? I am not a believer, but I heard this kind of voice. I think it is God Jesus calling me. Finally, the voice was so magnified. I was unable to hear. Within 1 month, we packed up everything and decided to go back to India. I did not sell anything of my household. I called the students from Bangladesh, from Pakistan, from other countries, who picked up anything they want from my house. Kitchen items, everything. Then I gave car to my friend, children's toys, cycles, everything picked to everybody. Only whatever was in my bank, I took it out that money and purchased the ticket and came back to India. And joined this institute, 700 years old institution, 100 years old institution, established by an American missionary, Dr. Samuel Barnum. And he was an evangelist by his calling, but a scientist at the same time, like me. We continue our work in science. At the same time, we continue our work in the gospel. Gospel is not anti-science. It is highly scientific. Mm-hmm. When I read through the Bible, after my conversion, I was surprised. This Bible was full of science. And I told one of the bishop, my friend, he was there, local bishop, I told bishop, this book is the queen of sciences. Oh, Dr. Lal, don't say like this. It's a blasphemy. Don't say like this. It's the queen of sciences. This is not a science book. I said, bishop, I have read this book through. And I have tried to work out this book like a manual of chemistry. You know, chemistry manual, how many of you studied chemistry? The chemistry, what do you call that? Chemistry, physics?
Studied medicine.
And it's a manual. I said, it works. When I read something and I do like that, then it works. So it says in James 5, 14 and 15, it's written, if someone is sick among you, call the elder of the church. And he will anoint with oil and pray for the sick person. The sick person shall be healed. And not only healed, if he has committed sins, the sins will be forgiven. Because prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I was not righteous at my own accord. My righteousness is borrowed from Christ. Otherwise, my own righteousness is like filthy rags. Filthy rags, as Isaiah says in chapter 64. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the one that we can stand upon. I give all the glory to Christ. What is happening in India? It is not me a doer. It is the doer, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit moving in that nation now. And I'm praying that we will be baptizing at least 1 million people in my city. Our city has about 6 million population and my state has about 200 million population. So, it's a good field. Great harvest. But the laborers are few. So, we are praying all the time, God give us the laborers because harvest is plenty. And this is 100% indigenous ministry, not supported by any church from anywhere in the world. Even the local churches don't support us. They oppose us more than supporting. So we receive lots of opposition from the local church, except the Catholic Church. I must tell you, I have a very good friend, Catholic friend in America, Catholic friend in India, the Catholic Bishop of India. He was a good friend of mine and he supports my work. Without money, anything, but he supports at least. By his prayer and supports, he does not oppose. I said, I am not preaching, my ministry is not for the charity people. It is the people who have never heard the gospel. Who have never heard Jesus, who is Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of Christ coming to the world? I simply explained that word and gospel goes in. Christ did not come to establish a religion. Christ came to save the people, save the lost. And we were all lost according to Romans 3:23. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We were all running down from the glory of God. We lost every glory that we had in the beginning times, at the creation times. Because God created us in His own image and in His own likeness. We were little gods. We were little gods. And we had all authority. What God has invested in us. And He then, finally, after our loss, He wanted to recreate us, bring the image back to Him in His own likeness, sent and prepared a body called Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit, born as Son of God, became a man. Never in the history of mankind ever you will hear a person like Jesus Christ, perfect in His living, perfect in His actions, perfect in His speech, perfect in everything what He was doing. But look at this St. Paul. He says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I want to test this verse. How will I test it? You are all chemistry students studying in this church. How will I test this? I test every word. Then I checked up with another formula of chemistry found in John 14 verse 12. If anyone believes in me, shall do what I do. Even greater things he shall do. Because I go to my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So that the Father is glorified in the Son. So if I lay hands on somebody and he is healed or she is healed, it is not to my glory, but in me Christ is glorified. In Christ, Father is glorified. We are in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus was doing on earth, we are capable of doing those things. We can stop the wind. We can ask the rain to stop. We can command the clouds not to rain, just as Elijah did. We are capable of doing all these things if we are in Christ Jesus. I must tell you one of the testimony. Recently what happened, we were going to Disneyland to celebrate the birthday of my granddaughter. We decided we will come. I took a break a few Sundays. I said, I will be coming and my wife will be joining for this Disneyland. So we were going last weekend, I think. Perhaps. Last weekend, yeah. So while we were going, it was raining. All were cloudy. The forecast was it will be 17 degrees centigrade and the weather will be cloudy and raining. I said, Lord, I have asked you to go and I have asked you, you said go and celebrate the birthday of your granddaughter in Disneyland, open. And I should have sunlight. I don't want clouds. Then my son said, Daddy, pray. That there should be no rain. It's too much raining. He was driving. He said, it's too much raining. Daddy, pray. I said, okay, son, I will not pray, but I will command this rain to stop. So I commanded and rain stopped. And we drove straight to the Disneyland. What is that place? I forgot. Paris. Yeah, in Paris. So we went to Paris. So we were driving to Paris. No rain. I said, 3 days, 4 days, there will be no rain. Don't worry, Jonathan. I have prayed for the whole time enjoying. I am going to enjoy. God has given me this night. I have come to enjoy with you, and there should be no rain at all for you. There was no rain for 4 days. Praise God for that.
Hallelujah.
I had a farm when I joined the Allahabad Agricultural Institute. And there was electricity failure in those days, 1994, 95, 96, I think it was there. And my farm manager came running to me, sir, our tubes have failed and our crops are standing, it will dry out. What should we do? I said, come out with me. So I said, let us go out, what Elijah did, I will also do. So we checked on the cloud, on the sky, if there is any cloud around. So I saw a small cloud in one side, I said, you come here. Then I saw another cloud to the other side, and you come here. And we corrected the cloud, I said, rain now. In half an hour there was rain. And every time I will rain by the clouds. Even the tubers were failed. We are not able to irrigate our crops. So we commanded the clouds to rain. They were rain. Because this is what the Bible says. Jesus has said, he will not fail. I may fail, but not Jesus Christ. I said, your book is not working. There is something wrong. I said, Lord, your book is not working. Your this manual that you have given me, the manual is not working. There was a great famine in our institution. I will give you an example. And it was bankrupt. Very bad in condition. Government was going to take over and they were saying, you cannot run it anymore. Very bad condition. Then I found a word. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said, Lord, okay, this is where I started seeking God, in 95 or so. As we were seeking God, we started reading Bible more, we started praying more, we had 5-6 people in my house. Every night we were praying till 12 o'clock in the midnight, every day. And we were finally, we were concentrating how to really get to the kingdom of God. How to become, how to be part of his kingdom. How should I seek his kingdom? How should I seek his righteousness? I cannot produce righteousness. I cannot create righteousness. I cannot receive in my own way. I can only ask God to give me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This righteousness of Jesus Christ that we receive free of cost. But I must tell you, Pastor is a great singer, Pastor Kent. I was hearing his song. I'm a songwriter, but not a singer. And I asked God many times, he never allowed me to sing. He said, if you do everything, what others will do? There's a big choir, big singers and artists, what they will do otherwise. So I write songs, great people sing. So they prepare songs, about 220 songs I've written. I'm still writing songs. Whenever you are in the spirit, you will write songs. You will rejoice in songs. We don't know what we sing. In our night prayer, particularly on Friday nights, I have a group of disciples who come with me for the whole night prayer. While in the spirit, I will start speaking in tongues or singing in tongues, and also then I will start singing in Hindi. Then while I sing, they will write down, and it becomes a song. So many, many songs are written like this only. Great singer. You have a great pastor, great singer, and a song. What a price. What a cost. You cannot imagine what a cost God has paid for us. For every person, even to my enemy, I must tell you, this is most difficult to love your enemy. I said, Lord Jesus, in Matthew 5:43, Jesus has given us a new law. Old law was to hate your enemy. New law, Jesus gave, love your enemy. And forgive those who trespass against you. Those persecutors, you pray for the persecutors. Why this Saul at the Damascus road became Paul? Only because of the prayer of the church. Even the church was praying for Saul that he was persecuting the church and the Christians at that time. At Damascus Road, Christ heard the voice of the church. And he encountered Saul. Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me? And here the Saul says, Lord, who am I? Am I persecuted? Then I am Jesus. You are persecuted. I must tell you that Christians and believers have great value, more than gold and silver. Our redemption is not out of our gifts and doings that we pay to the church and tithe and our givings. Our redemption is more than silver and gold, paid out of the price of the Son of God, His own blood. Redemption is highly expensive. And this unblemished, unblemished, clean and holy, never committed sin, even out of his mouth. He never rebelled against rebellion. He never spoke a word against those who were speaking, abusing him. He never spoke a word. Could Christ have spoken a word? You know what could have happened? A disaster. I never pray for a death of any my enemy. Because I know he will die. Because if he dies, then who will be responsible for his death? I will be charged for his death. So I am always afraid, you know, that so much I am afraid of this word of God. I am always afraid of of my prayers, what I pray. Even if I don't like it, still I will pray for good, well-being of my enemy. I will never pray for my enemy to die or perish. But I will pray for an enemy to be saved. God, make him like me. Then he will become automatically friend. But Bible says, if your conduct is pleasing to God, he will make your enemies friend. Then there is something wrong in my conduct. I always pray, Lord, make my conduct okay, at least acceptable and pleasing to you, so that my enemy can become my friend. Each time I was praying. But this was a part of testimony. I thank God that you will be encouraged by this testimony that I am trying to share with you. But look at the Jesus' disciples. Many times, all of them who were walking behind Jesus, don't think they were all faithful and of the great belief. If you look at the chapter 8 of the Matthew, the Lord Jesus is encountered by a centurion. And the centurion, from verse 5, the centurion comes to the Lord and says, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, he does. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him. He said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Christians. My Bible says right there. Not even in Christians, in any of the churches. And I say to you that many will come from the east, east part of India, and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go away. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. and his servant was healed that same hour. You know this. His servant was healed. He has criticized the faith of the believers following him. Further, let us see another example in the same chapter 9 of Matthew from verse 20. There is a woman suffering with 12 years of bleeding, and she resolved in her heart, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. But she said, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And she touched. Jesus turned around and said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. The faith of this woman. Faith is a very important thing. If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, faith, the faith of this sick woman, and faith of the centurion who is not a Christian, and faith is defined as the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I must tell you, faith is very important. We all have faith, a certain level of faith, but we need more faith as disciples requested Christ. We also know the faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Holy Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit, we receive faith. And this faith can move mountains, as Christ has already said. In this case, this centurion learned from the worldly life what is the meaning of authority. He knew he is a man of authority in the civil society, in the civil government. He knew how to exercise the authority. And he was also able to recognize and discern the heavenly authority of Jesus Christ. The heavenly authority discerning is very important. If anyone can discern the heavenly authority, the one who has discerning for recognizing the civil authorities. If we do not respect our civil authorities, according to, we know that 13th chapter of Romans talks about the authorities. All authorities in heaven and the earth are instituted by God Almighty. Even your prime minister, president, your king, your queen, all are instituted by the Almighty God. They are authorities in power. And this power is given by the Almighty God. They exercise authority, civil authorities upon us, so that we all live at peace. Otherwise, there will be disorder in the whole of the world. And this orderly life, Christ is recognized by the centurion because he himself is an orderly man. He is a man who respects authorities. He is the man who has authority. And therefore, he is able to discern the authority of the heavenly being, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He knew, he need not go to my house. Christ need not go to my house, but if you pray from here, like Pastor was praying, there were several prayer requests here on the screen, but we were not going into the place where the people are there. But we were able to pray from here, and the healing will take place there. I must tell you, one of my friends who was in California, Paul Larson, he's a professor, and he was admitted in the California Medical Center with very serious illness. And he's not a believer that time. He was not a believer. He was a professor. So he was sick. One of my friends told me, Paul Larson is very seriously ill, and he is admitted there in the I said, let us call on him if we can talk to him. So I was in Delhi. So one of my friends, he connected me to Paul Larson. He was on the line. I said, what happened to you? Sir, Dr. Lal, I am suffering with a very incurable problem. I said, what is that incurable problem? There is something inside the womb in my stomach, and that is not responding to any antibiotics, and no antibiotic is working, and this wound is just incurable and painful now. And doctors have raised their hand, we cannot do anything. I said, if doctors have raised their hand, then they must be raising their hand towards God. Let me pray for you all. Okay, let me try this also. He said, okay, let me try this also. You know, I prayed on the telephone. He's in California. I said, Paul, tomorrow morning you should be all right. Your doctors must give you a certificate of your healing. Oh, if it happens, I will come. Okay, you must come to Allahabad, in my city. And then you give the testimony before in the national television. Okay, I will come. I said, okay, tomorrow morning you call me. Next morning, doctors come. Again examine him. His pain disappeared right then. And then he was examined, everything was done, and he was relieved by evening. Same day. Then he calls me, I am coming to India. I said, you come. So he came, and he gave his testimony on the national television, what God has done for him. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It is not power in my prayer. It is power is in Christ to whom I am praying. If my prayer has power, I can pray to the stone. It must answer me. I can pray to the wall. But no, I am not praying to the wall. I am not praying to animal. I am not praying to a monkey. I am not praying to elephant. I am not praying to wall. I am not praying to a stone or a statue or an idol. I am praying to the living God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is living. He is seated on the right hand side of the Father Almighty with all authority of heavens and the earth. And you know that after my redemption, once I am saved and baptized, my name is written in the book of heaven. And not only that, Father does not see me directly. Father Almighty is seeing me in Christ. So then, according to Ephesians 3, I am seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So my prayer is right away answered because you are not here. One day in California, one of my physics colleagues, he asked me, where is heaven? These physics people are very crazy. They know all the stars, they know talk about astronomy and everything, and then laws of the physics. I said, friend, yes, I am in heaven. I said, what? Yes, I am in heaven. Then I said, this cannot be solved by E equal to MC square. I will have to give you another equation. That is found in Bible. And then I give almost half an hour lecture. You don't have that much of time on that equation. Otherwise, there must be a physics class for that. So, that physics professor finally was convinced. Yes. If Lord Jesus is in heaven, then you are in heaven. See, if I am the light of Christ, if I have the light of Christ, then whose light I am having now? I do not have any light. I was living in darkness. But Christ's light came into me. And I received his light, and now I am nothing but light of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Now, matter of physics is coming. Light. You are the light of the world. Because Jesus, when he came, he professed one thing in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have the light of life in us. The life of Christ in us. Christ seated in the heaven. We have direct communication with the light to light, much faster than even the light, speed of light. Much faster. So we are in heaven. Every believer, whoever has believed in Jesus Christ, is no longer is living in the world. We are, of course, traveling, eating, buying food from the food stores. We are buying clothes from everywhere. We are drinking water of this earth. But we are living in heaven. Because our joy, nobody can steal. The joy that we have, in even in persecution, sickness, whatever circumstances may be, that joy cannot be stolen. The joy of the Lord is my strength, that nobody can steal. That joy comes only by having Christ in us and we in Christ. If Christ in us and we in Christ, then doer is not me but Christ. Everything good is done from Him, not from me. I was not able to do before knowing Christ. But only after Christ came into my life, He is able to do all these things. Signs and wonders, healings and miracles. Because it is Jesus Christ. Not me. Before that I was not doing anything. Why? If I was born like Jesus, I would have done everything like Jesus, which I was not doing. But only when I received Christ in my life, things were of Him, not of mine. So glory to Him alone. Praise the Lord. Several times I have, many times I have seen my visions and dreams, visited the Lord personally. But one day, early in the morning I got up because my nephew was going to London for studies. So he said, "Uncle, I'll call you in the early morning, 4 o'clock around, to pray for me because I am going first time out of country." I said, "All right, I'll get up." So he called me and I got up in the morning and then I came out of in my drawing room, in the living room, and prayed for him. And then I decided not to go in my bedroom bed. So I just lie down on my sofa. And after some time I was not in between the world. Then the Lord came. "You must be sure, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. I saw the marks of Lord Jesus Christ still there. The nail marks. Marks of nail. On his hands, on his feet. Same marks still there. Those marks convicted me. I cried. I was just holding his feet with all my strength and kissing his feet. That's all I would do." Then he was wanting to go. I did not allow him to go. I said, "Don't go now. Lord, let me kiss you more. Let me kiss your feet more." Only feet I was kissing. And then the Lord, something was like a printout, is coming out like this. The written was Holy Bank. The translation I am saying, Holy Bank. It was Park Bank. Like this it was written. Park. Park means holy. So it's a Hebrew American word, Park Bank. Then it is written something, the script, and then 1028000 figures. So then I note it down in my diary. So as soon as I was noting down, he did something. So actually he wanted to go. And I was not allowing him to go, and he showed me something, and my mind was towards that attention, and then he left. Like a child, you know, childless. But then, after about 6 months later, I saw a poster in my prayer room. In that poster, the India's map was there, and they wrote down the population statistics. And that number was nothing but the latest population statistics of India. That next. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? This is my account." He gave my account. What bank means bank. And he came to give me my account. What is my account in heaven? Of these souls. That is my account. Souls bringing to the Lord's. You are deposited in the great bank, the holy bank. Our souls are deposited in the holy bank. And we need to redeem every soul by the power of the blood of Jesus. It's not the job of only pastor, it's the job of every believer. Pastor has added responsibility of administration, administering the spiritual arena. Great responsibility. But we believers, every believer has responsibility equal to bring souls into Lord's presence. The moment they will come in the presence of the Lord, the power of God will take over. That's not our job. We only bring people to Christ. Rest of the job is done by the Lord. Many people. I have seen people attacking my church. They attacked my house. They ransacked. Extremist people. And then, after a year, the leader comes to me. And he apologizes. The leader of the fundamental group. He comes to me, "Sir, I'm so sorry. I have attacked the holy place. Because I kept on praying for him. I was never angry with him. Because, you know, why should I be angry? Why should I glorify my persecution? If I glorify persecution, I have hundreds of lists of that. I can give you the great testimonies of persecution. But that's not important. Persecution is part of my gift. That is what I have adopted for. I have accepted and I have willingly gone for the cross. Christ never glorified the cross. He went willingly to the cross. So we all Christians, believers, will be persecuted in our workplaces. We are persecuted for many reasons, many times. Insulted. But that does not mean that we stop sharing the gospel. Because gospel of Jesus Christ, as Saint Paul says in Romans 1:17, I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because gospel is the power of God unto salvation of all mankind. All those who believe, it is the power of God. Gospel of Jesus Christ, story of cross, suffering of Christ, deliverance, overcoming death, overcoming sickness, casting out devils. All are these signs of the power and presence of God. And they transform the heart of the people. They melt them. Because we are not preaching anything which is powerless. The word of God is full of power. If Jesus says, "You will do what I do if you believe in me." What Jesus said, he loved his enemies. I'm not telling you casting out devils. That's an ordinary thing. Very ordinary thing. Healing the sick. Casting out devils. These are very ordinary things. But the most important and powerful thing is loving your enemy. Praying for those who persecute you. Not making persecution as glorification for yourself. I know what is persecution. Right from the lower courts to the high courts, Supreme Court. People file cases against me that I should not be preaching. Because I am a secular person. Appointed as a vice chancellor or rector of the university, receiving government salary, but preaching every Sunday the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the High Court says, he is a citizen of India, and India is a free country. You can profess your faith, whether you are president or prime minister does not matter. He is only vice chancellor. So even if he is receiving government salary, he is not using that salary for the purpose of converting people. Salary is given to him for his work. Is he not doing university work? He said, no, there's no complaint about his university work. He's doing great in the university. University is growing, tall, is known in the country, the top list of the country. University is well fetched by the students. We have 10,000 students in our university. And We reject a great number of students who are not admitted in our institution. Great pressure every year, right from the government to the central government. But it's God's grace. The institution is transformed powerfully now. See, scientists and scientific work, technology, is not devil's property. Technology is Christian property. It's a Christ property. Use every technology to glorify God. What technology? This is not technology. What is it? In my neck? Yes? What we call this mic and microphone? Is it not a technology? That's a good technology. I don't have to shout. Otherwise, the whole classroom, I have to shout. This classroom I could have managed very easily. But having 10,000 people is so difficult to manage. But Christ, He was able to manage without microphone. His voice was heard by 10,000, 5,000 people at a time. He was feeding 5,000 from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. All things are possible. It's highly scientific. I was explaining to a bishop. He said, how can you say the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish is scientific, making it 5,000? I said, yes, it is scientific. The grain of, I said, where is this bread coming from? Wheat grains. I said, yes, wheat grains. And do you think the devil lied to Jesus when he said in the time of his temptations? He was hungry for 40 days and devil said, you are the Son of God, make these stones bread that you can eat. Do you think devil was lying? I don't think he was lying. He was telling truth. He knew the power of God, number one. And devil is a good scientist. I must tell you, because as far as the mineralogy is concerned, if you have studied rocks and minerals in your geology class or geochemistry class, then rocks and minerals are the minerals. So what the plant is doing, the roots of the plant, roots of the plants are sucking and the sap is going into the system and ultimately the whole thing is converted into grains. So the stones are converted into bread. It is scientific. The process is about 3 months, 4 months. For us, for Jesus, 3 seconds. I said it is scientific. Christ was doing highly scientific job, but with high speed. I cannot catch up with him. As an agricultural scientist, it's difficult for me to catch up. Because my crop takes 3 months to mature. But his bread takes only 5 loaves, making it so much that the 5,000 can eat. And it's still 12 baskets full of that. For me, it takes time. But for him, it takes no time. Time is not bound by time. We are the time of people. So even converting a stone into a bread is a scientific statement. And it can be done. I was many times thinking that if I can do something like this, I'll get a Nobel Prize. Converting a stone into a bread. Factually, in the nature it is happening. In the chemistry of soils and water, it is happening. The stones are converted into bread. Every day we are eating stones. And glory to God. Everything in the Bible is highly scientific. Science is not enemy of God. Science is supporting the God's presence in the universe. Be encouraged. He become good scientist. He become good believers. Hallelujah. God bless you.